time has just gone 20 past 8 and we say welcome and good morning to psychologist David Abramson. How are you?
Great. Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, Simon. Good morning, Zanati.
Morning.
How are you?
Well, thank
you. It's been too long.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm used to sitting here with a man with no hair. And
that's actually.
Yeah, how's that head of hair?
Wow. Simon's been blessed.
He's going to laugh yourself, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. So
talking about it.
He's in the game reserve, so hopefully he's not going to be able to pick up a signal.
Yeah. He's checking in, I'm sure. Yeah.
And imagine he had feelings.
And
imagine
that
he was sensitive. Yeah.
All right, sensitivities aside.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it possible to actually use humor to deal with the difficult situations in our lives, whether it's grief, whether it is stress, whether it's anger, whether it's a difficult relationship? I mean, Simon...
Yes,
he's
where
human
going
with me
yeah?
all the time.
Right. But that's really an interesting one. Yeah, I do. But sometimes you just cross a line and you don't know you're doing
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Well,
and then it can land you in a bit of broch, a bit.
Yeah, but that's so interesting you saying that because there's something, that's true.
You're intending to be funny, but you hurt.
There's something called psychological proximity or distance. And that's when, you know, and how long's a piece of string?
Okay.
And that's why it's such a difficult line to walk because it depends on how close that joke is to you, how you relate it to your experiences, how it relates to your identity. And if it's a little bit too close to home, like obviously jokes about the Holocaust for Jews are not generally very funny.
They're never
at
going
all.
To be funny.
They're never going to be funny. But if, you know, if someone talks about, someone having an accident, a car accident maybe, and you haven't experienced that or you don't know anyone, God forbid, who's died in a car accident or anything like that, then that might be funny for you. But if it happened to you, then it's close to home. So we talk about that psychological proximity. So, I mean, I love Nick Dobrynowitz. I think he is. But I actually had the privilege of opening for him. Yes, I did a talk at Chabad, and I said I've made it now
because I've opened for Nick Dobrynowitz.
His shtick was much better than mine, I have to say. But he was absolutely fantastic, but he knows, you know, how to navigate exactly as you're saying, Simon. You know how to navigate that line between offending and making something really, really funny.
But sometimes you don't actually know what it is, what it's going to be, you know? I mean, if I think of, somebody, okay, let's take, it was actually quite a public thing. Howard Feldman, he wrote an article about his mom dying from pancreatic cancer.
Mm.
And it was a very, very humorous article.
Mm.
But he got more flack on that article than anything else.
Right. You know, people are...
Because people were highly offended that he was finding humor. He didn't find humor in that she had died. He didn't find humor in the pain and the reality.
Mm.
But it was all the stuff around it that he found humor in, and people were very offended. You gave an example earlier as well about Joan Rivers.
Absolutely. I mean, she got on stage and she made jokes about her husband who killed himself.
Mm.
And she also got people get incredibly judgmental about this particular issue. I don't know why, because it's so personal. She's the one who had the loss. It's her family. And yet people are very quick to judge.
You know, I think that's part of it. I mean, there's no question that laughter, increases your endorphins and, lowers your cortisol levels. So that's not for dispute. So definitely having a good laugh, I'm sure. Simon's feeling a lot better today after...
Oh, look, he's got a glow.
He looks
like he's been exercising.
It's true. It actually has a physical effect on you where you actually feel better.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, when we think about laughter transcends language. It transcends, you know, well, maybe not at times, but I'm talking about the jokes, but the actual mechanics of laughing does transcend color, race, boundaries. And so it's a way that people can communicate. It's a way that people can identify with each other. So it's so powerful because when we think about other emotions like sadness, crying, you know, when someone's angry, those are also very powerful, but we often don't think about it. And that's why I was so glad, Kathy, that you spoke about, you want to speak about laughing and laughter and humor.
That's a tool that we can use.
Yes,
because we can find the bizarre in our lives.
It is such an important tool to use. And yes, obviously, certain times it's maybe not appropriate to make a joke, and it's not appropriate to laugh. But there are so many times where we are facing adversity in life, and you know, things
are stressful. Interesting, because I'm listening to you two then, and I'm hearing it's a tool. Because your first reaction is going to be, anger comes far more easily than humor does.
Right.
When I'm cut off by a taxi on my way to work, I'm not laughing about it. Exactly. I'm angry about it.
Right.
So you're saying I actually have the choice. That's interesting.
It's such an important thing that you're saying. And I know it sounds like a cliche because we often say this, but we have a choice choice how we feel. We have thoughts and then they determine how we feel. But it's not so direct. We do have more control over it. And I think it's a skill. It is a skill that we need to work on. I can tell you, you know, my favorite movie, I don't know, do you remember Patch Adams?
I loved Patch Adams.
I loved that movie. It was, and I'll just never forget how it
2 years, I think we interviewed him on Chai FM.
You did?
Yeah.
What an amazing, he started the Gesundheit Institute.
Yes.
Years ago where he.
Robin Williams played Patch Adams, the doctor who believed that laughter, you can get better from laughter.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was the most amazing movie where it showed how he went into hospitals and he went into, you know, situations which were really, really sad, you know, kids who were terminal and just put a smile on their faces and it kind of distracted them. I mean, my favorite part was when they made the mistake of asking him to organize a gynecological conference.
Yes.
And he put up a big sign saying, we are at your cervix. I don't know if you, and that was my, and that's the kind of thing he did. He made it funny, found humor where there wasn't really supposed to be humor.
Yes.
And I think that is huge. And again, I think it is taking off around the world where we see clowns, you know, coming
medical clowning is massive.
Is massive.
Massive.
And things like, you know, I saw the other day an amazing article, a hospital in the States where children don't go on stretchers into the operating theater. They drive these little cars just to make it a different experience. So it might not be humorous,
amazing?
But it's about changing one's, you know, experience from negative into something fun, into something more positive.
Yeah, that's right. Cause they say that with surgery, how you go into the anesthetic, if you're positive, then that's how you'll come out.
Mm.
If you're worried and anxious, then often when you come out, you know, you can have reactions.
And I know,
interesting.
I must say that I put up my hand and say I'm blamed, and I take it on the chin for being very negative about social, you know, about anything technological.
I think you're right on social media, by the way.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. But what
you need my endorsement.
No, look, I appreciate that. But what I will say is that actually this is where, you know, it can be so positive because I've often seen people starting like groups, you know, on WhatsApp or, you know, whatever it might be, where they just send each other jokes. You know, if you find something or a meme or something that's really funny, that's all that it's for. And, that's one, I think good way of actually finding humor in your lives, which is quite easy. You check your messages and there's that, you know, that, group, which is just to try and make each other laugh.
But that's true. That's absolutely true. I think it was about 3 months ago. Might have been 3.5 months ago. I was either going to delete my Facebook account or I was going to do something, but I didn't want to go on. It was Facebook had become such a miserable place. And so one morning I woke up and I thought, bugger this. And I've got folders on my computer of the funniest memes. Some of them are damn rude, but the funniest memes. And I started posting. The number of messages that people said, like, are you okay? Are you having a manic episode? No, I'm not having a manic episode. I just want you to be happy.
Yeah.
And I want you to have a laugh and do it at my expense.
Mm.
And since then, I do it every single day. Like, look, this week has been a little bit dodge. But when people see me, they're like, we just love what you're putting on Facebook. And some people I don't know because I don't know all my Facebook friends.
Right. It can have such a
motivation.
Yeah, it can have such a positive impact. And again, you know, like Simon was saying, you know, it's something that we can work on, like almost like a tool, like something that we could, you know, develop within ourselves to know, to see things in a more humorous way, to try understand things in a more humorous way, take a step back, and have a laugh. And I think we do. You know, life is very, you know, we have to be adults.
We take ourselves so serious.
We do.
Seriously, don't we? I'm
agreeing with
you
100,000%. I'm just thinking personally, it is so easy to go to the dark place. It's so easy to go to the angry place.
And it's so easy to ignore the bizarre and funny things.
And it's as easy to go if you just make that choice.
All right. So I want to bring someone else into this conversation. There's a guy by the name of Peter Kay.
Yes.
Peter Kay. He's a comedian. He's a stand-up comedian.
A live one.
A live one.
Okay,
that helps.
As
opposed to the dead ones. Yes. And, you know, sometimes we can find the bizarre and the humorous in our own lives. And that's what we need to look for. Right? So, he actually does something on misheard song lyrics. Have you heard this?
No, I haven't.
You're going to hear it now. You will not be able to get this out of your head, and I hope that you enjoy it. David Abramson's with us. Simon Anstey. My name's Kathy Kayla.
And I'm Zinati Guma.
And wow. Yes, we're going to be getting some news headlines, and then we're going to go straight into this play. You're on 101.9 Chai FM. This is The Morning Mayhem. Kathy Kayla.
And Simon Anstey.
Standing in for Howard Feldman. We have in studio with us David Abramson, psychologist, who is counseling us right now, actually. We're talking about how you can use humor to deal with grief, pain, anger, you know, bad situations. And if you've got experiences that you'd like to share with us, then please do. 34519 is the SMS line, or Telegram 0618951019.
Yeah, so Kathy, we were talking about personal experiences. Ian Best got hold of us via Telegram. We know because we spoke just a short while ago. We gave a shout out to Karen, his wife, is going through a particularly difficult time from a medical perspective. And he wrote the following, and it's probably worth reading. He says, as a self-proclaimed expert in dealing with life's challenges, my coping mechanism is positivity and humor. Whether it be dark or light, wrong or right, my coping mechanism has gotten me this far. Through the tough times when I thought it was too much, when I thought I would be smothered under the weight of my emotions, that's when laughs got me through. Dealing with our journey over the last 6 months, we had two simple choices. We could laugh or we could cry. We chose the former, and fear turned into hope and despair turned into opportunity. Mm. And there's it coming from a man who's actually lived this firsthand. Mm. Mm. Who was faced with a choice.
Mm. But if you live joyously, you see things differently.
And what stands out for me, Simon, is that he said, we chose. And I think for me that's so powerful, because we often feel overwhelmed by life. You know, life is very serious. Life is tough at times. And, you know, being an adult these days, I suppose always has been, you know, it's tough being an adult. But I think we can choose. We can choose to look at things in a humorous way. We can choose to play a bit more, you know, be a child. You know, I always used to laugh at fellow psychologists, inner child, you know, stop being so arty, you know, but there's something so powerful about it, about not forgetting that as an adult, you can still have fun and you can still go out there and choose to be playful.
No, because
then
you're
playful.
Not a victim of your age.
Exactly.
You're not a victim of, you know, the expectations placed upon you.
Right. And when we think about it, you know, it is possible. We read such inspirational books like Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl, who found himself in the concentration camps and found meaning in a place so horrific. So, you know, we can stand back and say, but I've got this, I've got that. And it's reality and it is hard and it is tough. But don't forget that you can and you should and you must look for the positive, and one of the fantastic ways is through humor. And I think, Kathy, my suggestion is that
do a comedy night.
A comedy night. I was going to say there's a comedy slot on the breakfast show or the afternoon show every day.
I think we should do a comedy night.
Oh, yes. I think we've got to invite Nick.
Definitely. Yeah. Like, what kind of a question is that?
I have to invite Nick.
Get Nick, Barry. Yeah, we get John Flissmas. We get the whole lot.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I'm in.
Look how he's looking at me. Simon.
It's personal. I have a very strange relationship with comedy. Very strange relationship
really?
With comedy. Like, it's got to be really good for me to enjoy.
No, we only
slapstick,
do bad comedy events.
People, you know, walking with a cream pie and falling in their face. That doesn't do it for me at all.
That you and everybody else. We're all on the same page.
Oh, I don't know. I think a lot of people love, like, silly humor.
Although I do like Monty Python.
Oh, hello. There's the perfect example.
I love Monty
blessed
Python.
Blessed are the meek and blessed are the Greek, and people roar with laughter. And I look at them and I think, hello, like, what am I missing here?
Go back and watch it. Go back and watch it. All right. Coming up, we're going to be speaking to Luba Maikiso. We're going to get the Africa report from him. David Abramson, it is such a pleasure to see you, firstly.
Thank you.
You're
Kathy.
Looking fantastic.
Thank
and
you.
Just thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us. I've really enjoyed speaking to you again.
I can cancel therapy this week.